Legend has it that it was written by the Dark Ones. Necronomicon Ex Mortis. Roughly translated, Book of the Dead. The book served as a passageway to the evil worlds beyond. It was written long ago, and the seas ran red with blood. It was this blood that was used to ink the book.
I'll swallow your soul. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 205, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight, Brian Dead by Dawn Dunaway.
Oh, yes, Dead by Dawn. Oh, what cruel fate is this? First, you take away my girlfriend, and now you take away my hand. The horror, the unmitigated horror. Who will pleasure my boomstick now? Give me back my head. Give me back my head.
Wow. It's dramatic, dude.
Who will pleasure my boomstick?
Who will? No one will. I won't.
Groovy.
Randy, his hand has a mind of its own, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Mm-hmm. Brian.
Randy.
For this week's Film Sack, I decided to do a little experiment and make some fake blood that looks nothing like actual blood. So, I looked up the standard bad movie method according to the Raimi brothers, and I mixed the following. Avocado oil, spinach cleaner, train fuel, clarified honeydew sweat, brass polish, pancake batter, juvenile sparrow saliva, and parody gloves, task, chess, poem, rehearsal, noun, angel, package, tap water. So you know it's good.
And there are plenty of it.
Nicely done.
I think that's actually how Siri translated my last message to Tina.
Oh, yeah? That's great. Finally, Brian, that's not a thing in the cellar. It's his mother, Ibbot.
Yes, another subtle, nuanced performance from Bruce Campbell. Yeah. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go put chalk outlines of all my hardware in my workshop.
Right? Love doing that.
By the way, I screwed yours up. That's the thing in the cellar. No, that thing that's in the cellar is not his mother there.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I have a question for you. I gotta hold on to this for a second. So people, they put up the hole board on the side of the workshop. Yeah, they put up the board with the holes in it. And you hang all your tools.
Yeah. Right.
And then you go with like a marker and you draw around the tools, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you know where everything goes.
Yeah. Okay. Why? Why do you need to know where everything goes?
It's not for you. It's for your idiot kids who are taking
okay,
the tools.
But if true, I did yes. this, if I had my workshop, I did this. I would spend the rest of my life losing sleep thinking, if any of these tools gets broken or replaced by something shaped differently, this will not work.
That's right.
Yeah. It needs to be washable.
Exact screwdriver.
Yeah. It has to be washable ink, I guess, or something.
Well, this is washable chalk.
My uncle did this, and I remember us asking the same question around Thanksgiving or something. Why does Uncle Joel outline all his tools, Dad? I don't know, son. Just eat your turkey is kind of the answer we got. Because there was a lot of things about Uncle Joel that never got answered in my childhood, but one of them was that. So that very thing. That's a really weird deal. I don't know if I doubt anyone does this anymore. I think you just put up pegs.
Still do it?
Do they?
Sure, sure.
Who's doing that? Who?
People just trying to get away from their wives and kids. What are you doing out here? I'm drawing chalk lines around my tools. Leave me alone.
I need some time in the garage, honey. I understand.
He's out there drawing chalk outlines around his tools, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, see? Mm. I know where you're coming from. All right, Scott Fletcher has more to say about the movie this week, which is The Evil Dead 2, or better or more accurately, Evil Dead 2. There is no the in front of it.
ED2.
EV2. And here's what he says about that.
Evil Dead 2, Day by Dawn.
Just a small warning. Some might find this offensive. Okay, here we go. Keep going.
stranded. He cabin in the woods. Ash and his girlfriend accidentally invoke a spell that causes the evil dead to rise and kill. As a lone man pitted against hordes of walking corpses, can Ash survive into the safety of sunrise?
But it comes with a free Froggurt. All right.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know what he's doing it for, though. I don't know what the voice is for.
It's those people, if there are people out there wondering what accent that is, it is all of them.
Okay. Right? To mix together. Sure. Now, he sent a supplementary 6-second disclaimer. Okay. I want you guys to hear this bit. This is him addressing his reading just now. Here you go. Right here.
Oh, doing accent is no racist if a relative is oriental.
Sorry, see, that was racist. The other part was just nonsense.
I thought he was trying to do Johnny Depp in The Lone Ranger.
Well,
nice. I just got that in the mail the other day. That's fine.
That movie's not good. Send that back. Delivery? Yeah, what'd you do there?
I got it from just Netflix DVD.
You should not have that on your queue. I worry about you.
I forgot about it.
That movie is terrible.
Did you put that on the queue before the movie came out?
It's the one movie I saw in the last 5 years that I would have walked out on if I had the energy. I hated it. I hated that movie.
If I wasn't asleep, I would have walked out. I
mean, it was so lazy that day. And Terpster was with me, of all people. And the poor thing, we'd bring him to America, and the first thing we do is take him to that atrocity of filmmaking. It was so bad. That is not a good movie. Anyway, there you go. Scott Fletcher doing what he does best, which is drink and record things. It's Evil Dead 2, and that is directed by Sam Raimi. It's the one of the three movies I never saw.
You've never seen Army of Darkness?
No, I have. I've seen one and two, or one and three, rather.
Yeah, he was saying that. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's the one of the three movies.
The white goo in the middle of the Oreo I did not see. Go ahead.
I would say this is the one to probably miss because one is so weird and cheaply done. Then Army of Darkness is actually pretty good.
Army of Darkness is fantastic. The first one I remember thinking it was just the craziest student film I'd ever seen.
Right.
And then the second one, maybe I'm alone here, but I actually really like this. I had a good time with it. In fact, I think I liked it better than the first one. I didn't like it better than Army of Darkness. But for what it was and when it was, I think it was fine.
You know what, Scott? You're right. You might be alone in this.
Randy, come on, man. Back me up. Where are we at with you?
This is the only one I've ever seen. I look at these films from, you know, from this perspective of there's no way they could be worth my time.
Mm, interesting.
I don't have to be like dragged kicking and screaming into watching something like this. Like I wanted to watch it so I could talk with you about it.
Of course.
Wasn't that Sam Raimi?
Yeah, same guy.
You're naming movies I will never choose to sit down and watch unless someone else is involved somehow.
Well, Drag Me to Hell is his newest thing, or not newest, right. But you're too old. And I've not seen it, but everyone tells me that it's a genuinely scary throwback to these kinds of movies, but actually scary and not campy and ridiculous.
And there's one exception. I accidentally saw Spider-Man 3, and I regret that.
Oh, I know, right? Oh.
You shouldn't regret. That was actually pretty good.
Oh, wait a minute. You've got Lone Ranger in your mailbox. Now you're telling me you like the Spider-Man 3. We may have to have some words here. We may have to have a gladiatorial fight.
It has to be the case that Oz the Great and Powerful sucks, right?
It probably... So what you're saying is you're just not a Sam Raimi fan.
I don't know. I'm just naming Sam Raimi films, and I don't know. I don't know. I just don't watch them.
Oz the Great and Powerful was okay, except for Mila Kunis looked really weird as the witch.
Had a problem with that?
The makeup was just weird for her, but the rest of it wasn't okay.
For me, the movie of his to see... is this movie I'm going to find here real quick. And I thought I had it in front of me, and I don't. Here it is, director. Okay. The movie is called A Simple Plan, 1998.
Yes. Really good. Coen's?
Not Coen's. Feels Coen-ish, though. Didn't
they find it? It does feel Coen-ish. No, it's based on a book that I have on my shelf.
Scott B. Smith, right, is the guy?
I think that's right.
Bill Paxton, Billy Bob Thornton, Bridget Fonda. That's back when she made movies. It's really, really, really good and really interesting and totally not a Sam Raimi movie in the traditional sense at all. In fact, I think it's probably the thing that may have got him more considered for the Spider-Man films and maybe anything else, because this broke out of his weirdness.
Right, right.
His brother was probably still in it at some point.
Yeah, it doesn't just have a Coen Brothers feel. It has a Fargo feel to it. I think that's why. Right, right. I mean, I think you might be putting it and Fargo in a very same bucket.
Well, even
appropriately.
You're going to put this in a bucket.
But even the comments I'm reading here is them going, oh, this way to rip off a Coen Brothers movie. So, I mean, even other, you know. Well,
did you guys read, like, the trivia and stuff? Because he lived, he like, lived with the Coen Brothers for a while, didn't he? Didn't he live, like, with Kathy?
Oh, Francis McDormand.
Yeah, Kathy Bates and Holly Hunter. And
he lived with the Coen Brothers, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
That's
yeah.
right, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
So they're all buddies. And then his brother, Ted Raimi. His job is to be the Clint Howard of his generation and be in every movie his brother makes. So who does that now? We got Clint Howard and Ron Howard. You got the Raimi brothers.
Nicolas Cage and anything possible.
He needs a brother, though. So who's right. another? What's another brother combo? There's got
another
be,
brother.
There's got to be other brother combos.
Famous brothers in films.
Yeah, somebody come up with that. But it needs to be so that one of them is the auteur, director, visionary, and the other one needs to be the dopey brother that only gets roles in his brother's
that
movie.
That just needs a job.
Yeah, that just
Help
needs a job.
Help your brother out.
And the family sticks together, stays together, sticks together. Anyway, so he's producing a new Poltergeist reboot, by the way, Sam Raimi is.
Ooh.
More importantly, though, he was tapped to, for a while there, he was going to direct this World of Warcraft movie that just wrapped.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was the guy, and then he ended up picking David Bowie's kid instead.
Little Bowie.
And I'm glad because
Zoe
Bowie. I really like Sam Raimi movies that are the ones that are just kind of the raw Sam Raimi business. I like Xena Warrior Princess for that matter. He created that series and helped produce it and everything. Mm-hmm. I think that stuff's great. I like the over the top campy thing, and I'm not so interested in him trying to get serious or whatever. But the funny thing is, he's not unlike, to me, he's a lot like Peter Jackson.
Right,
Peter
right.
Jackson comes along, and what he had done up before the Lord of the Rings movies would make you wonder why they picked him. Because it was like Dead Alive and crazy horror movies that make, just which, you know, to have no connection to Lord of the Rings. You're like, how is that even a style that would work here or whatever? And then he kind of proved everybody wrong. I feel like Sam Raimi never quite got a few toes out of the pool he was in previously, and it showed,
except with the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, I guess, but even those a little bit, don't you think?
And that's actually why I didn't like him for Warcraft, and I was glad that they gave it to Duncan Jones, because with the Spider-Man movies, Sam Raimi did a really good job of sticking to the source material and sticking really closely to the source material. Like, he didn't stray one bit.
Well, except for the gooey web goo out of his arm. Other than that,
he stayed very faithful that first time around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, even the spots where he fell back on what he had previously done, that was like stunts, you know, like this cameo of the chainsaw being lifted, you know, for a second, that sort of thing. It was a joke.
Mm-hmm. Or Bruce Campbell showing up as the
right.
the and announcer or whatever.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But my point was going to be, the thing about Warcraft is there's so much to it. Spider-Man is this really simple story that you can tell in an hour and a half. Warcraft, you've got to pick something. And that I really, really like the idea of someone who doesn't already have this huge history. Like, Duncan Jones doesn't have this huge history, so we don't know what to expect. Right. We're going to give him the benefit of a lot of doubt on what he chose to point the camera at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you have two movies, his two movies that you always point to, like Moon and
Source Code,
are great movies in their own right, but they're actually quite different from each other.
They're totally standalone.
They
don't constitute some sort of history
that
you're going to compare this to. And I really, really like that.
I agree.
Right. And you'd expect Sam Raimi, you'd have some zoom in shots.
Mm.
You'd have some
people riding
Bruce
the camera.
Campbell would be somewhere as an orc or something.
Yeah. Oh, I would love that. That would actually be really cool. I'll tell you, I personally, Sam Raimi is one of my favorite directors because I think he does things. I don't think he ever gets caught up in the Hollywood thing where he goes, okay, we got to do it this way for sure. Sometimes I think he just does things because it just works for him, even if it's outside the box. I don't think he's like beholden to a lot of what other directors go, okay, we got to fly this ship straight, man. The producers are watching. Mm. Like, Sam Raimi is pretty much like, you know what, screw you guys. I'm going to attach Bruce Campbell to the front of the
camera. That's what I like about his early work
more
than the newer things he did, because the newer stuff does show him going, all right, fine, this is conventional, you know, wide wide release thing that everybody right. and their dog is going to see. So I can't be too crazy here, but I like the crazy. I like the weird and the, you know, the bonkers business that was going on with this. And I wish this would have been, I would have been okay with sequels. And I guess there's one in the works now, which is right. crazy, but I would have been okay with sequels to Army of Darkness. That would have been fine with me to have a whole series, dumb as it may be. That's great. Everyone loves Ash. Everyone loves his arm replaced with a chainsaw. Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad he moved on.
It's
I'm
super
glad
dumb.
He's a collection of tropes, and there's one in particular that really bugged me.
Ooh, let me get a thing. All right, go.
And that is, man, Ash is an idiot. Like, like the well, you yeah. know the survivalist idiot, the person who survives despite being really, really stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's, gosh.
Yeah.
It got to a point where I'm just like, no, this guy doesn't actually make it through this movie. And of course he does. Of course he does. He's the only thing in the movie, really, if
it's
you look
so
at it.
It's so farcical, though. And so, and the other thing I noticed, too, about that trope, but also just generally, the movie felt to me like a remake of the first one. And I started digging around, and there was a lot of talk about the fact that this one got real money. This had Stephen King throwing cash at it, had other people trying to help out, had a real budget, and that this was his attempt to kind of restart it. And that's how it felt to me. And it felt better than the first one did to me.
Yeah. The first one was in a group of like five different people. And it was a much different story. And it definitely felt like a student film. This
you mean
was,
the you Raimi know, brothers and three other people. That's who you mean?
Pretty okay, much.
Got it.
Pretty much. But it was, I don't know. This to me, I don't, even though there was a bunch of junk that this didn't hold up and it looked weird, like almost Tales from the Crypt kind of error kind of stuff.
Yeah, practical effects, baby.
Yeah, lots of them too.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of that stuff.
What about that big still, head pushing through the cabin there? Right. That was kind of cool.
That's a Sam Raimi trademark for sure.
Yeah. What else they have? Like, I'm trying to think of my favorite moments that were gross, not gross, but.
Bloodbath, a couple of bloodbaths.
I think
great.
The chase with Bruce spinning around in the front of the
oh yeah
the golf cart that Sam Raimi was driving.
Now yeah. three more. I wonder how long it took to actually film that, because it was all sped up. And you know, it was still a pretty long scene. It was at least a good couple of minutes.
He loved
I
that.
How long
stuff.
They had him hooked
it
up and rigged to something.
Renting the Blu-ray just to see if there's a making of that shows that in regular motion.
There's supposed to be a pretty good commentary track with him and his brother again talking about these scenes. And the brother played like the naked grandma, zombie lady, and all that.
I'd buy that.
He supposedly almost died on set because he almost heat exhaustion or something from being in that suit or some crazy story. So I'd like to get my hands on that just to hear about how that all went down. But when Bruce was like the kind of demon dude out when he was outside, and for some inexplicable reason they never explained, he became the devil thing.
Right.
That looked possessed. Really, that looked really great, I thought, for practical effects of the time. That didn't bother me. Like, some pretty good. Wasn't Stan Winston or anybody, but
no. The makeup was fantastic.
Yeah, I think all right. So yeah.
It was probably Sam Raimi sitting there.
It was the acting around the makeup too, though. You know, it was Bruce Campbell cheesing it up like, I'm changing.
I enjoyed that stuff.
The ham was on a level that made you think this is really partially how Bruce Campbell is.
Yes, I think so too. Yeah. You can almost see him and Sam Raimi sitting down, like meeting, you know, grabbing coffee, and Sam said, you know, I just do what you do. I love what you do.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
Be you.
Yeah. Because he is the same in everything. He was like this in Burn Notice. He's like this in everything he does. And I think I'm all right with it. You know, I like totally. That there's a guy. I like a guy whose entire career is that.
Yeah.
Right. You just get the feeling that there aren't a lot of them. Like, if you were to ask Robert De Niro to ham it up, he could ham it up, but not anywhere near this level, because he doesn't have it in the first place.
Right.
Like, he's having to act just to ham it.
He smells like pork when he walks in the room. There's so much ham there. But it's true, though. He's like, he is. I'm trying to think of a contemporary of his. I mean, you maybe could say, I mean, there's a Shatner quality to him. There's a
Jim Carrey. Older Jim Carrey quality. I think Jim Carrey's kind of tried to stray away from that.
I mean, I agree with you, though. Yeah,
but we're probably going to see that again with Dumb and Dumber 3, whatever. I can't remember what it's going to be called.
Dumbest of dumb people.
I can't do Dumb and Dumber. Or
what's it called? Dumb and Dumber. I think it's just Dumb and Dumber 2. Oh, yeah. It's Dumb and Dumber 2, T-O-O. That's what it is.
Right.
Something real dumb like that.
Right.
Just T-O.
Like, who else is like that? Like, the guy that played Batman in the 60s, Adam West, is a bit like Bruce Campbell. Like, I've never once said, man, Bruce Campbell, you sure can act circles around everybody.
Right, right.
It's something else special going on. And by the way, a reminder.
Charming.
Our only, this is the only second movie we've done with him, right? Because the first was that weird sci-fi thing we watched way in.
The bug people.
That shitty thing. Remember that?
What was that? It was just some generic name that could have applied to any.
I'm sure that's why we don't remember it.
Yeah.
It was like in our first 10 episodes.
It's only our second Bruce Campbell.
No. I forgot. We did the one where he was Elvis in the.
Bubba Hotep.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. That was a great movie, too. Anyway, I love him. I want to spend time with him. I think he smells like aqua velva. I think he's great.
But it is about him is that he is aware of what he is, and he's, you know, he's not, there's no pretense. You're not going to find a movie where Bruce Campbell, and maybe Byrne notices this, I haven't seen it, but you're not going to find a movie where Bruce Campbell plays the lead in a rom-com.
I can't leave a topic when it bugs me. He was in Congo, right?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he was
he the monkey.
Oh, he got killed.
Oh, wait. Yeah, duh.
He died right away, though.
He set up the cameras and went, whoa, whoa.
He died in like the first 5 minutes. You're right, though. That counts. He was in it.
It was.
Was there something else? Now it's going to bug me that there's something else I forgot about. Whatever.
We didn't watch any Spider-Man, did we?
You know what, though, Brian? I actually think you'd like Burn Notice. It's kind of throwaway television in the sense that you can kind of watch it and do other things. It's not, it's, you know, there's nothing there that's, if anything, it's like a throwback to like the shows we grew up on in a lot of ways. But he is so great on there. He's just.
Is he playing it up in typical Bruce Campbell fashion, or is it more?
Kind of, but it's more, he's super relaxed chill. Okay. And he's always just like, well, let me tell you, there's something about him that is really compelling in that show. And I feel like he was the reason that show lived for 7 seasons or whatever.
Well, you're not the, you're far from the first person to recommend that I see it. So
better than you think. It isn't like the usual USA fair though. Like some of that stuff sucks. Like Royal Pains, terrible. Freaking, what's the, not Monk was good, but that bounced around between networks.
Psych was good.
Psych's okay. If you like Psych, this is better than Psych.
Oh, okay.
So you'd be all right. You have a lot of TV shows to watch, so don't worry about it right now. But eventually.
Binging on a few other things right now.
Yeah. Eventually, notice the burn. It's pretty good. It's all right. It's not the worst thing you'll ever
do. Feel the burn.
Feel the burn. Let's see. Who else we got in that movie? Sarah Barry and Dan Hicks. I like Dan Hicks.
Yeah,
I don't know who Sarah Barry is, huh?
Dan Hicks and his hot licks.
No, Jake.
He's the southern bumpkin guy that was completely over the top.
Right. No, I thought he was the guy wearing the members only jacket, wasn't he? Which one is Dan Hicks?
No, he's the one that was all, we got to get out of here now, man.
I thought his name was Bubba, or did they just call him Bubba?
Was it? Did they call him? Oh, wait, we'll look at the thing here. He played the character of Jake.
Maybe it was then. Yeah. I could have swore they called him Bubba.
I thought, I'm thinking the other.
Right? Oh, I forgot the other Sam Raimi movie I love. Darkman. I love Darkman.
Oh, yeah, Darkman. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Mm.
I could have used more Darkman movies.
More Darkman. Yeah. And let's see.
that could be used out of context. What?
Right. Sarah Barry. I could have swore she looked familiar, like I'd seen her somewhere else before, but I guess it was just in this movie.
Nobody else in this movie seemed familiar to me at all.
She hasn't done hardly anything, but this Cassie Wesley DePelva, she's in lots of things.
Right. She was in Chud 2, Bud the Chud. She was an onlooker.
Yeah. That's good. That worked out well for her because those are her two movies, Evil Dead 2 and Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Bud the Chud.
That's the entirety of her career.
Love it.
Oh, my gosh. She's also in The Making of Evil Dead 2 or The Gore the Merrier in 2000. So she's part of the...
We're going to get that. Making it
maybe. But this Cassie Wesley DePelva, who's the cute one. She's really pretty.
Bobby Joe.
She's in lots of stuff. She's currently on One Life to Live.
All right.
General Hospital, all the daytime business. She was on Baywatch, Melrose Place. She was working the circuit. She's lovely for her age. She's got to be 51. She looks great. Anyway.
Yeah, she's wearing that risque see-through blouse on her IMDb.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
Right.
I know.
I'm about to see through blouses.
I had to look it up and see if Dan Hicks was indeed the Dan Hicks of Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks, but it is a different Dan Hicks altogether. There is a musician named Dan Hicks, and I thought it seems like he would travel in the same circles as
Does it? That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy, you see him in other stuff now. He's got the most prolific career on here, really.
Yeah, right, of any of the people in this.
All, at least the secondaries. Often considered to be a remake, some trivia for you, a remake of The Evil Dead in 1981. However, it is not accurate entirely. The rights of the show, or to show scenes from the original, could not be obtained to recap what happened, so the beginning was remade to explain how Ash got to the cabin in the first place. So it isn't so much that they remade it, even though I still feel like it kind of felt like a remake. I mean, I guess that's what the intro did. The intro reset it, kind of, and so it does feel like a remake. During the scene where the severed head of Linda bites Ash's hand, that made me laugh.
Yes. That did make me laugh.
All that stuff made me laugh. When the eyeball flew through the air, that was the funniest thing ever.
Into the gal's mouth, right?
I was laughing my head off. That made my whole day. I thought that was great. Bruce Campbell says the single line workshed. Okay, remember that? He said workshed, and it was kind of weird because it was redubbed in post-production. He could barely tell he said it.
There was a lot of dubbing in the film.
So it said it gave it a strange, slightly disproportionate sound in the audio. 9 years later, while filming his cameo for Escape from L.A. in 96.
Right.
L.A. We did L.A. Yeah, so we have seen another movie with Bruce Campbell in it. Escape from L.A. Yeah.
What did he do? Was he the guy on the No, he wasn't.
He was a cameo. I don't know. We're going to find out. Anyway, because there's a line where the first thing Kurt Russell said to Bruce Campbell on the set jokingly was, say workshed. He wanted him to say the thing. But he's in that. Oh my gosh, that's funny. We're going to keep finding places he was in movies and
he's in everything
that we'd forgotten about. That's funny. Anyway.
Got a trope for you.
Okay, hold on. Whoop. Wait. Go.
Taxidermied animals are always terrifying.
Yeah, especially the giggling ones.
Deer was awesome. Yeah.
It makes you wonder what they're doing in existence, because when you put taxidermied animals in movies, they're so terrifying that you have a hard time imagining that in reality they could be anything other than terrifying.
I'm so with you on this.
You got to remember that I live in South Carolina, and just about everybody has a deer head in their house.
Yeah, grandma on the corner or whatever, man.
It's common fare.
Yeah, no, I mean, I grew up around some hunting relatives, and there was always that kind of stuff around, but I'm the same. I don't think that... All that stuff's creepy. If you had to stay at your buddy's cabin or whatever, his family's cabin, and they got these things hanging everywhere, you can't sleep. You're in a room with a freaking buck over your bed looking down at you going, I was alive like you once.
So back
with glassy eyes.
So back when I worked for a banking software company, I traveled all over, and there's a bank in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Whoa.
You got to begin this with, did I ever tell you about the time that I worked for?
I'm trying to mix it up.
Man. Okay, all right.
I want to, can I be a little unpredictable?
It's all right. It's a repertoire. I like it.
Grand Rapids, Minnesota. So you fly in and out of Duluth, which is just the saddest city in the United States. You drive out to Grand Rapids. There's a bank right in the middle of town. And the guys who operate the bank is old men. All of their efforts in entertaining themselves in life has been to go on safari and then come back with these stuffed animals and fill this bank with them.
I mean,
completely fill. Like, you walk into this bank and every part of every wall, ceiling, floor that isn't being used for banking is filled with stuffed animals. And it's terrifying. Right. The last thing you would ever want to do is rob this place or go try to meet a friend there or anything. It's terrifying.
Was it kind of like that scene in When Nature Calls with Ace Ventura when he goes into the butcher house?
I hate that sequel. Anyway, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's that kind of thing. And it just makes you wonder, like, how could this be okay? How could you do this in such a way that I'm not just bothered? And
the heads of them with their eyes open on a wall. It is really crazy if you think about it. Like, I know we have hunters who listen, I'm sure. Hell, we probably have Grand Rapids listeners. No offense, guys. Right. But the point is this. The head on a wall thing is... At some point, that seemed like the thing, but I don't know when that was, and it's never.
70s, man. Definitely the 70s.
It never looked right to me, though. As a kid, now, and forever, it's scary. Not so scary, just it's barbaric. I mean, I'm not trying to be a hippie tree hugger here. I like meat. Give me some meat. I'll eat some meat.
If we didn't have that in our society and our culture, could they have created a movie as awesome as Predator? Because, I mean, that's basically what it's all about. It's about, oh, yeah, what if we were the hunted and they were trying to get our heads as trophies?
I like that you're saying that had we not had this horrible thing that we do to right. animals, that we'd never have Predator and then think that that's a good enough reason. I love that.
There's a few degrees of separation that need to be filled in there. But.
It's a straight line, Brian. It's just...
Straight line.
Straight line.
We kill animals. We put their tusks on the wall, and we made Predator. Dun, 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 dun. Most of the film was shot on a set inside a gymnasium in the J.R. Faison Junior High School in Wadesboro, North Carolina.
Can we go ahead and agree to always call it gym instead of gymnasium?
I don't ever say gymnasium. I hate that word. Yeah, gym's better. That's funny that this whole thing's in a damn gym.
Yes,
that's just nuts to me.
And I'll tell you, the special effects, I think we really had to talk about the great practical effects they had in this, the makeup, the camera work. I mean, the tree ints. I think all of it was just, I think it, for the budget they had.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that stuff's cool.
This was just amazing.
It made me want to go be 12 again and make a movie with my friends.
Absolutely.
Get my dad's video camcorder with the big over-the-shoulder carrying VHR or VHS piece of thing. And I want to go out and I want to film our own horror movie. I mean, that's what old Sam Raimi movies do for me,
right?
Generally. Essentially, those kids in Super 8 were making a Sam Raimi movie.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Their little movie was, anyway.
So what did you guys think about the members-only jacket? Was that the only person who saw it?
I didn't see it, but now that you mentioned it, it was the preppy guy, right?
The boyfriend with the hair.
Oh! Yeah.
He was wearing a members-only jacket, as well as his girl was wearing these knee-high safari socks.
Yeah, those are good looking.
I can't remember who originally made the joke, but he must be the last member.
Doesn't matter. It's new again now that you've said it.
Did you guys jump at any point in time during this movie?
Not
was there any
once.
Point?
No.
Oh, I did.
Just to turn it off.
No.
Just
to turn it off. Well, that's it. Boing.
Credits. Yeah, I'm not going to see if there's a stinger.
There was just, the movie was like a long sequence of sudden loud sounds. It was,
yes.
It was
very
creepy. I never jumped.
The sound foley work in this thing was, oh my God. I don't know if it was the Netflix version or if it was just so
Netflix,
loud.
Netflix does this inverse compression to sound. I don't understand how it is always so quiet when it's quiet and so loud when it's loud.
I find it depends on the film, but you're right. There's a lot of movies that do
usually
that.
If you just apply a compression filter, you just get loud all the way across. Soft things don't ever get soft, but with Netflix movies, what?
He made a penis joke there, Brian did.
Oh, yeah,
about a soft, you know, like he made a flaccid penis joke and then he ran with it. Anyway, no, continue on.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I don't know. I just drives me crazy. I'm glad that someone else noticed it.
Yeah, for sure. And it was, and I know this every time I have to, because when I do these clips, I have to amp them way up, right? Most of the time.
Right.
But
a
scene in this movie, if it involved dialogue and the sound of something, I have to do a little of both. I have to drop the loud down and increase the other. It's super uneven,
right?
Which is annoying. And I don't know if it's the movie's fault, Netflix's fault, or Holly Hunter's fault because she's in this. she works her way in here somehow because the surly, this is how they describe it in here. The sexy, surly Bobby Joe was inspired by Holly Hunter, who was a housemate of Sam Raimi along with Joel Cohen and Frances McDormand. So they are all hanging out.
Don't forget, Miss Bates was in there. What's her name? Kathy Bates?
Kathy Bates. She wasn't in this.
Yeah. She wasn't in this, but she lived with them at the time.
Oh, she did. Kathy Bates in the house. Yeah. Well, she tied them all down and broke their feet.
I was going to go ahead and hobbled them.
Oh, man. Don't you have to bring that up?
I know. Dude, that movie.
God.
That movie's hard.
It's weird it's just weird to look at a movie like Evil Dead 2 and compare it to a movie like
Misery.
Right. Because it's hard to call them both horror. Because they're such different types of horror, but they're definitely horror movies.
Sure,
it's just so strange to think Misery is so much more horrible to me because it's so well depicts like such an awful, awful thing. One horrific thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
Whereas this movie, Evil Dead 2, I'm like I said at the beginning of the show, that fake blood looks so fake and so bad that I can't even imagine what's in it. I'm taken out of the movie there.
Yeah. Well, really? Kathy Bates works really hard, I think, to right. break the stigma that is Misery.
Sexy? Oh, Misery.
Because she'll do really good work in a lot of things, but I can't watch Fried Green Tomatoes or a couple of seasons of The Office or anything without thinking, she's going to tie Michael Scott down and break his shins. Like, she will forever be that horrifying thing.
She's going to get naked in front of Jack Nicholson.
I can't even watch James Caan in movies without thinking about it. He's an elf, and I'm like, oh, dude, how you walking? You doing okay? Like, oh, my gosh.
Are you guys Three Stooges fans?
Sure.
So we got to address this in the movie because I mean, either Ibbitt, I'm not a big Three Stooges fan either.
I can deal with it. It's not like I'm like, oh, I can't wait for more Three Stooges. Well, it's okay.
I'm just not a big fan of that kind of stuff. I don't know why.
I like some slapstick, you know, in my life.
I don't like cross dressing, and I don't like this. It disturbs me greatly.
So you've got to stop sometime.
Yeah. Right. But there's a huge...
Wait, hold it. What's wrong with cross dressing?
What no, does he it, means, what does it he do means for in you? Comedy,
you,
right?
What do you mean? What's wrong with cross dressing?
What does it do for? Yes, I'm asking that question of Brian Dunaway because he just tried to slide that in. It's something
it does absolutely nothing for me. It's right. like
but do you understand that cross dressing goes all the way back to the beginning of acting? Like it is the like the very first way that men portrayed women?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But doesn't mean I have to like it.
it's fascinating. You're fascinating me right now.
Do you like dinosaurs? They're really old too. No, I mean I just never have thought that cross dressing was. I used to hate it in Bugs Bunny. I think that's where it all stems from. And Bugs
really?
Bunny used to, she used to bug
when
the
he
crap
would dress up like a lady bunny and try to get all sexy for the other animal that was he was trying to fool.
Now you're definitely not the first person to say that. I've heard someone like a comedian, like a Seth Green.
I love that.
Who has a bit about how Bugs Bunny freaked him out.
I love that.
Well, that's good that I'm not the only person. That's
they
good.
All did it though. Tom and Jerry did it. All those cartoons did that. Back in the day. Mm-hmm. And they would wah, 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 wah. It'd be like this stupid sexy dance music.
Right.
Love
batten her eyelashes and mm-hmm. pound her lips. And
yeah, it was the only way you could get the bulldog to think to right. be distracted because Tom was all sexy all of a sudden. It's like the most, what do you want? You want to wave generations of misogynist men's because we're all raised on these hideous cartoons that made it think.
I'm not going to lie. I was really not looking. We did not do Some Like It Hot. And I'm not going to lie. I am really glad. I was really pushing for not. I didn't want to say it's because, you know, Jack Lemmon dresses as a woman. I just didn't. I don't like that.
It just gives you the bothers. All right.
This is okay. So it's you find it just unsettling. It just
so no Flip Wilson movies for Brian Dunaway.
No,
either.
No. Oh,
zero
gosh.
Flip Wilson movies.
How about I forgot Flip Wilson existed?
How do you
send that?
How do you feel about how do you feel about a man who just wears a bunch of like eyeliner like Carrot Top?
Oh my God, that freaks me out too. But that's
really
Carrot Top freaks me out. But it's not because I can deal with eyeliner like Johnny Depp. I'm okay with.
How about dudes dressing like ladies? How about that? The other way around. Ladies dressing like dudes. Sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me too much.
Mm. So, Tootsie, how you do with that movie?
Tootsie, I hated that crap.
Deal with Tootsie.
we got to see that Adam Sandler thing as soon as it's out on streaming.
Oh, God, I hate that.
How about Victor?
So
Victor Victoria? No, no good there.
Victoria can't. No.
I'm trying to think of some big falutin movies, and there's a bunch actually that feature cross-dressers.
I got to stop and ask the question. Men, famous men who wear eyeliner and not like Jared Leto in that movie, but yeah, like
Eddie Izzard. How about Eddie Izzard?
Yeah, Eddie Izzard's a good one.
Okay, but no, he's actually cross-dressing with each other. I'm just talking about like you just mentioned Johnny Depp. I mentioned Carrot Top. Who's the guy who is always wearing eyeliner? And it's totally
Nestor Carbonell.
Nestor Carbonell. those are real. He claims that
Ray
stuff's
Liotta.
Real. Yeah, Ray Liotta's also got that, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think.
Because I was thinking, two people popped to mind when I said that. And I just want to know if I'm crazy. But Russell Brand,
okay,
always wearing eyeliner.
Yeah.
And Dave Navarro on Ink Master.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dave Navarro definitely always wearing eyeliner, for sure.
I haven't seen him on that show. That's because he's with what's-her-name, right? With
Carmen Electra, the other one.
From Evil Dead 2.
Well, you know, this is how we go. The people like these offshoot discussions about elevators and cross dressing. It's interesting.
But
never mix them though. Never cross those streams. Yes, what?
It feels to me like men who have both ears pierced and wear the little hoops.
Yeah,
there is a level of man that you have to be to pull it off.
Or pirate
Morgan Freeman.
Pirate or Morgan Freeman. Yeah.
Pirate. No, it's just like Any one of the four of us could get a single earring in the left ear, and it would be whatever it would be.
Yeah, we could Harrison Ford that up.
To do both, first you have to go to the gym for 3 years.
Yeah,
like then you can get both ears pierced.
Yeah.
How many have ear piercings?
I don't have one
in this group. Mm-hmm. I have one.
Do you really? Where?
Left ear.
Okay.
I got one.
I pierced my left ear when I was in college.
Now in high school, the deal was that if it was your right ear, that meant you were sending out a signal that you were gay, right?
Yes. Right.
Was that the deal?
Exactly. Okay. It's still the case.
Is that still true?
It's still true.
I don't think it is.
I thought it was always folklore. Absolutely. Is it true?
That's what I think.
Oh. Folklore. Well, I've never been gay, so I can't speak. I don't know how it works. Maybe I should be gay for a week.
I think it's become so prevalent in heterosexual men that connection is debunked. Like it's
gone away.
Yeah, not debunked, but like, yeah, right.
Maybe. I don't know. I always wondered. So this is us again talking about a thing that's got nothing to do with
it. I made the mistake of doing an image search for Dave Navarro to try and figure out who his new girlfriend is. And I'm just amazed that the dude takes every single picture, no matter what year it's from, whenever it's from, he looks exactly the same.
No, he's defying logic.
He doesn't age.
No, he's the prince of.
But it's not even a matter of not aging. You could superimpose all these photos one on top of each other. It's the same expression,
same beard, same everything.
Same beard, and, same everything.
Yeah. Apparently it's a really durable thing. Like Chris Angel's another one where once you establish starting at like age 19 that you have straight jet black hair and jet black everything else, you're able to just then that. You know what I mean? Like if you have any kind of beard like Dave Navarro does, you just know that thing is just getting lacquered every day of his life because it stays so very black. Like, do you remember when Ronald Reagan had that colored hair? He was still president. That was so fake. That's apparently the Chris Angel look is something that you can just perpetuate the rest of your life if you want to, and that's up to you.
It's the greatest magic trick of all. He's 46 years old and still looks identical to as he's ever looked ever before. I was trying to find his girlfriends because I can't remember the Kat Von Deen or whatever her name is.
Yeah, Kat
Von D. Kat Von D is the tattoo artist. Dita Von Teese is the model.
Yeah. I think it's the Von D Kat tattoo lady. I think they were a thing. Ah, whatever, man. What are we freaking... Perez Hilton over what here? Are
we? Yes, we are Perez Hilton.
Wonderful.
As usual.
Collectively, we are. All right. What else? The glove belonging... I don't know if you guys noticed this. I did. The glove belonging to A Nightmare on Elm Street from 84. Freddy Krueger's character can be seen hanging above the door of the tool shed when Ash carves his girlfriend's head with a chainsaw and when he is looking for the pages in the later... cellar scene. So he's down there digging around with the book. This was in response to the use of the Evil Dead 81 movie on a television screen in A Nightmare on Elm Street. So in other words, they did a little crossover Easter egg hunt there together.
Right.
Which is lovely.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Pay it forward, I always say.
Right. And I actually watched Nightmare on Elm Street 2 this past week as a recommendation after I watched the Evil Dead 2.
Oh yeah? What'd you think?
Yeah. Is still bad.
It's pretty bad, right? That two is not good. That's the one where the girlfriend in the boathouse, his tongue comes out and it's super long.
Boathouse.
You remember that? I cannot get that scene out of my head forever. For whatever reason, he's got like Gene Simmons' tongue.
It's right. I forgot how much you have in that tongue thing.
Yep, that's
See?
My memory.
I'm
of
not
that.
The only weird one.
That's my only memory of that whole movie is that. And I saw it with a girlfriend at a party and no one liked it. Nobody liked it. Nobody liked it. There may have been a couple of guys there that liked the boobs on display, but I think most of us thought it wasn't very good.
How many hours do you think Bruce Campbell spent wrestling around with prosthetics and stuff in this movie?
More than you'd think.
That's his real chin, baby. Come on.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. That stop motion they used in that movie, speaking of effects, I love Sam Raimi early stop motion. Too. It's weird and freaky. Like just kind of
It's very Harryhausen. Like it's very throwback. Harryhausen-esque for sure.
It is, but it has kind of a punk rock kind of vibe to it. So it's like Harryhausen on LSD in a way.
Right.
It's real good. And punk aficionados who think I just said that your favorite kind of music is Harryhausen on LSD, I apologize. But the point is that it's so frenetic and almost bad, but so bad it's kind of good. Because stop motion was always an excuse because we couldn't do anything else, right? It was the cheap way to get it done.
No computers. And,
right, because we couldn't do that yet. The fidelity just wasn't there. So his opting for, or for whatever reason, it looking kind of janky pays off.
Right.
Makes it seem freakier and
I mean, weirder. Really creeping me out. And it still creeps me out.
Yeah. Well, it should.
To a degree.
It should.
Right.
Let's see. Other thing I liked about it, it's like a series of what if we did this scenes?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
not a cohesive story or him having an outline or let's go by the book people. It was more like, oh, dude, what if he got chased around his own house by a really slow moving thing?
Open that door. Now keep, whatever you do, keep looking back. It's coming. Oh, look back again. It's still coming.
Let's have him do that. And then, hey, instead of just having that eyeball end up in the lady's mouth, let's have it flying midair. Like those kinds of things, it just feels like there's an energy there that's maybe not great or lowbrow or whatever, but it's just got so much creativity behind it.
Oh yeah.
And you can just see him in the corner going, okay, that's perfect, all right, cut that. Now what if we had Bruce, you know, whatever, okay, sounds good, where's my brother, he'll be perfect in the suit, I don't care if he dies, like what a great time. And making it in a gym. Can we borrow your gym? What for? We're making a horror movie. Great.
And we're going to put a cabin in here and an outhouse that never shows up again.
This will help buy books for the kids, I guess. Or something.
The fact that I can't imagine that's really possible to make a film that way tells me that we didn't like it. Because if that's the way, the takeaway is, wow, this seems like a bunch of haphazard last minute decisions. And I know it wasn't. I know this was planned. This was scripted. This was decided weeks and months in advance of every little thing. Like, wow, that's kind of sad.
I don't agree. I think that the feeling that it's happening by the seat of their pants is fun. I don't mean it like last minute, like, hurry up and do that. I don't mean like last minute, like, oh, I procrastinated this and now we have to do something. I mean, like,
more like
improv or
experimental art theater.
Yes. Right. Yes. Experimenting and mm-hmm. like, what if we did that? I don't know. That's going to look pretty crazy.
What do you think this would look like once it makes it through dailies and we actually look at it on a screen? What do you think this is going
to
look like?
Yeah, that sounds like fun to me. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I'm getting. I don't see it as a bad thing or that it makes it more transparent or whatever. I just think it makes it, I don't know, just intensely, I don't know how to compare this to anything else, because there's not a lot of movies that do this very well. Maybe.
Yeah, and it also brings me around to like thinking about the Uwe Boll problem, which is he is working really hard, and he thinks he's doing a perfectly good job. And so if I recognize, like everybody else, that the results are awful, like it makes me the jerk. Yeah. Like I'm the bad guy here.
You are the jerk. This is actually a topic. This is actually a topic that I've had with I have a filmmaking friend who lives in New York and does a lot of editing for films. And he, for a long time, he was very critical of movies when we watch them. It's like, okay, what's the end result? The end result is not good. Well, when he got into the process of doing it and being so involved, it was really hard to get him to say anything bad about a movie, because he would go, yeah, but that stuff's hard, man. Even Uwe Boll, you know, the stuff he does, it's still pretty hard. It
can be. He's just patently not good. At least this is like, I mean, there are legions and legions of Evil Dead and Army of Darkness fans. I mean, they fill cons every year. When Bruce Campbell comes, they swarm him. There's a reason why that stuff lives on, because it's actually campy and good camp. But Uwe Boll movies, there's none of that will ever, like 10 years from now, go, oh, man. We didn't know it at the time, but
where were you at when you saw your first Uwe Boll movie?
That's right. How old were you when you saw Blood Rain for the first time?
I'm curious. I'm curious about the next generation of film watchers.
I can promise you this, Brian. Listen, I'm going to tell you this as your friend, and if anyone disagrees with me, speak up. But I promise you that I don't care how many years pass, the works of Uwe Boll will never have that quality to them. I am so sure of it. I feel it with every fiber of my soul.
Yeah,
interesting.
I'm sure of it. There's nothing there. It's garbage. All right. Anything else before we do clips? Yes, go ahead.
The thing you just reminded me of was how I used to say, man, there's never going to be another year like that one. Like every year it would happen. There's never going to be another year like that one. 2008 really sticks out to me, because that was the year of The Dark Knight and Oh, Quantum of Solace seemed so good at the time.
It was cool. And I like it now. It's good now. It's fine.
It was the year of Iron Man and WALL-E. And I just came out of that year like, there will never be another year like 2008. And then immediately right out of the gate in 2009, Avatar and
Star Trek. And,
And like 2009. And I realized, man, I think that perception is really not, it's not the static thing you think. And people are going to keep trying. They may not always make better movies, but they're going to keep trying to, and maybe sometimes even accidentally make better movies. So you always have this to look forward to. But like you say, that thing that stuck in the past and was Dreck, it just stays Dreck.
Yeah. And as long as Uwe Boll has, you know, weird German tax laws on his side, he'll always make crap. And the thing is, he has more chances than all of us to do something that maybe sticks out or lasts the test of time, but he's not doing it.
But I think you guys forget the one thing that can catapult a crappy film to the minds of a generation, and that's the distribution. I mean, if suddenly YouTube decides that Uwe Boll is the man, and they decide that they're going to start showing all of his films on YouTube, something might catch.
No,
something might catch fire.
Then, if they did that, first of all, let's just say they did that somehow. That was a thing they did.
Right.
That would mean that there was already something there. You know what I mean? Like, they'd have to have a compelling reason, and there is no reason anybody wants to license that over the normal channels.
Well, money is always a good reason, and even it's still recognition, brand recognition he's got. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to try to argue too far with it because I'm not 100% standing behind what I'm saying. But I'm just saying I've seen crap when I was growing up that, you know, maybe HBO or Showtime, and they just had a movie that they ran back to back, and it was a crappy movie from the get-go, and everybody knew it was crap, but they got a really good deal. And so they invested into it, and so they just ran with it.
Well, part of it is timing, right time, right place, right? So Evil Dead today would not be interesting, really.
No, not at all.
But it's super interesting. I mean, the new Evil Dead, I guess they went hard horror, like super scary, no camp, just frightening, awful, demon soul, gross. I haven't seen it yet, but the point is they can revive these things in a time where that's, you can make a straight up horror movie instead of this other thing, which, you know, at the time, you know, they were, I don't think Sam Raimi's going, this is going to be the campiest thing ever, and Bruce Campbell's going to live on forever. They don't know. They just know they're working really hard on a thing, and the flash in the pan, right time. What's Uwe Boll's right time, right place? That's gone. That doesn't exist anymore. His right time, right place is at home in his little German, his German mansion, doing whatever he does.
But what's the current thing? Who's right now making movies that you look at askance, but they have a good chance to become cult classics?
Oh boy!
Oh, see, that's always the hard part.
Is Tarantino too obvious? Like, is that too obvious?
Tarantino?
Yeah.
Oh, way too. I think he's already done it. Is the thing?
Yeah.
I feel like it's enough times past where Pulp Fiction's already legendary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think he is one, though. I mean, you're right, but that opens a big question about. So, like, Tarantino, you no longer look at, like Randy says, askance because you've already seen him do it.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, other people, like today, let's say, you know, let's take Godzilla, which I saw and really enjoyed.
Did you finally see it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Loved it.
I loved it for all the right reasons, and some people think it's supposed to be a good drama with real people in it, and they're wrong. It's Godzilla, damn it.
It's a Godzilla movie.
And they really nailed that part. So that director, what's his name, Graham or whatever it is? He's now been tapped to do whatever the first standalone Star Wars movie is after Episode 7, so probably a Boba Fett movie is my guess.
Right.
He definitely has a taste for it's a Spielberg throwback thing I'm feeling from him. I felt it in that movie.
Right, right.
And so you never know. You look at that guy and go, oh, whatever. Or when I'm watching Felicity, did I think that this series created by J.J. Abrams would foreshadow the rise that is J.J. Abrams to prominence? No idea.
So what I'm getting at is maybe it's not possible to make a cult classic anymore because we're so interconnected via the internet that we jump all over someone like Joss Whedon so early that they can't be cult classics.
I feel like you're right.
Just overblown out of the gate.
I don't know how you do it, but there has to be this thing in let's say 30 years from now, our kids, my kids will look back and there's got to be something from now that they'll think about that way. Don't see it maybe, but there's got to be. If there's not, then that's a really huge shift in popular culture for sure.
I saw Maleficent this past weekend, and that movie is going to be big on some of these kids. Ooh, now
it's pretty low on Rotten Tomatoes today, but yes,
it is. But I've seen there's things in that capture the imagination of children that I think will last.
I've never been so interested in a pair of cheekbones in my life.
Right. Those things are razor sharp.
Talking about your practical effects. Yeah, those are pretty sweet. Right. I think she should have kept them. Got them for real. 51%. Million Ways to Die not doing well at 33. Mm. No, that's too bad.
Bummer. Glad we didn't buy that one.
No. Yeah, we didn't get that one. We have Go See Godzilla and See Neighbors. Those are both reviewing well, and Brian and I need the money.
Need the money for our thing, for our movie contest.
All right, let's get to some clippage here. We have some clips. They start with this one right here, which is this one.
So what do you think, kid?
I love it, Ash.
Oh, that's kind of the dialogue you get in the movie.
I love it, Ash.
Mm-hmm. That's not very good.
That's the girlfriend.
Here's some sexy talk, though. Right.
What do you say we have some champagne, huh, baby?
Sure.
After all, I'm a man and you're a woman. At least last time I checked.
Okay.
Bom, bom.
Oh, good Lord.
All those dad jokes. Painful. He's not a dad. Right?
It's just painful to listen to.
It's pretty bad. How about this one? Here's another. I wrote bad conversations, 27 seconds long. So bear with me here. Here you go.
Annie.
Hi.
How'd the expedition go?
Great. I found the pages of the Book of the Dead.
Yeah, I got your telegram. Thanks. So, what condition are they in?
Take a look.
They haven't aged a day in 3,000 years.
Maybe longer.
When do we begin the translations?
Tonight. Is everything all set with my father?
Well, it should be, but I haven't spoken with him in a week. There's no phone in the cabin.
Oh, my gosh. Could the internet have helped these people? Their telegrams and their phones.
Mint, near mint.
Yeah.
Some creasing, some water damage.
Yeah, totally.
Non-artwork pages.
Please don't touch the merchandise unless you want to buy it. Let's see. This is Ash screaming. A pretty good scream. Here you go. Right here. It's pretty good.
We have another Bruce Campbell scream that's like that, where he's it's from Congo. Where he's
got
what if it's, what if it's the same scream? Could be the same scream.
I don't have that other one anymore.
Oh,
I would test
no,
it.
Really?
How do you not have the other one?
It's buried in a pile. I'd have to go through everything with the label scream on it to find it. It would take me forever. I know. Maybe next week we'll have it. What is the most, what? Oh, this is what most of the movie sounds like right here. Right here. That's pretty much the soundtrack for the film.
A lot of that.
Reminding me of that glitch in Diablo. You guys heard that? I'm going to play you this. This is pretty funny. Hold on. I know it's not really connected here, but there's this glitch when somebody crashed and they were playing their witch doctor. This is what it sounded like for a while. It sounds on purpose.
Is that really in this movie?
No, that's from Diablo.
Oh,
they reminded me of that.
Gotcha.
Wow, it's like early Oingo Boingo right
I know,
there.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
Really weird. Like that movie they did?
Yes, Forbidden Zone,
that one, yeah. Oh my gosh, that movie. I don't think we ever get to watch that one.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe. Is it out there somewhere?
I have it on Blu-ray or DVD or something, yeah.
All right.
VHS, something.
How about this one? Swore we'd be together.
You swore that we'd always be together. I love you.
My God.
That's after he clamped her head to the
bench. Yeah, just her head. Just her bad acting head.
The bad acting head.
I really hear Holly Hunter in that a lot.
Yeah. Oh, different chick. She was the Holly Hunter like one lived,
one that
I think.
Ends up with at the end, yeah.
Did she live?
More or less. Yeah, didn't she was in the...
Well, we don't know because he got teleported to the land of the lost there at the end.
Right.
I think she did survive.
Yeah.
But he got sucked into the hole.
But we don't know.
And they had the worst. By the way, could they have had the worst? Everything looked like it was pounded out of somebody's old pan's armor for like middle age armor and stuff. That looked bad.
Mm-hmm. But did we know any better then? We weren't doing a lot of medieval stuff.
Yeah, we didn't have like Oscar-worthy costume designers in Lord of the Rings yet or any of that. Like, it's so, that looks so bad. That looked like LARPing to me.
And I did, like somebody took mom's sieve or whatever it is, a little spaghetti strainer, and put it on their heads. Yeah. It was bad.
That thing he fought at the end was cool, though. That what was that?
Right, right. They yelled out what it was. What was that thing?
I forgot. That was cool, though.
Yeah.
I got into that. That was all right. Okay, here's, does this sound fine, is what I wrote.
We just cut up our girlfriend with a chainsaw. Does that sound fine?
Come on, Randy. You got to admit. That's
so
that
harsh film scene, right there.
That mirror scene was pretty convincing. Come on.
Sure.
That was a good shot. Come on. Him, not, the act, the movement of that at the same time.
I'm not hearing Randy agree there. I hear him kind of quietly disagreeing.
It's, this is probably a good example of a movie that I should have seen 20 years ago. And, and in not doing so, now it's just like, bad television looks this good nowadays.
I don't know. I think you guys are weird. I think it was fun. I had a good time with it.
Oh, I think it was fun too. I really do. It's just my bad. I didn't watch it when I should have.
Right. Well, I didn't either. I have no excuse. I should have seen it. I saw the first one. What the hell's wrong with me? All right. Here's the weird hand voice. So the hand had a voice, and it sounded like this. Oh my gosh! Yub yub at the end.
It's when they add voices to insects who are crawling along and.
Yeah, you know, I don't like that
kind of thing. Now
sounded like an Ewok though at the end.
Yeah, stuff can be creepier when it's silent. Look at Gravity as a good example of like how scary stuff can be with no sound.
Oh, space! Space is scary.
Know that?
Yeah.
floating, quiet. Sandra Bullock in her underwear.
The last time we had probably seen a hand do any acting was probably from the Addams Family. So, I mean, this was spot on because that's what it did, right? Cousin It would do the little.
Well, that came.
Hey, but he was silent. He wouldn't make the noise. That was Cousin It was the hairy
cousin
thing.
Cousin It was the hairy thing. And, but he was always around. Yeah, with thing.
Yeah.
Right.
That weird. That stuff's weird. All right, here you go.
Silent and creepy.
Here's your new home.
Here's your new home.
Oh, I guess he just. I guess he just said what I said. So there's that. Here's him going after the hand again.
Gotcha, didn't I, you little sucker?
Wow.
You little sucker. That felt really weird in a rated R movie.
Mm-hmm. They didn't swear much.
No.
I expected more swears. And there weren't any, really.
They had too much blood. Didn't have time for swears.
I had to go watch a couple episodes of Generation Kill on HBO to feel good about the swear quotient. Good Lord, that show. I've been binging on HBO content since it all hit Amazon because I don't have HBO and haven't ever. So all these shows I always wanted to see, and that show's really good, by the way. But yeah, if you are at all sensitive to modern day profanity,
right?
Then
wow.
Then you shouldn't have been watching HBO since Deadwood. Deadwood
that's
messed
true.
It, just
that, dragged
that's it.
True. Deadwood took it to a new level, I think.
And then everything is like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I'm
Generation
trying to think.
Kill's
of,
good though. You should watch it.
What's the H? What's there's always an exception. There's one HBO show at all times.
The it's Temple like, Grandin movie they made.
Oh my gosh. That's a great
example.
I mean,
no sex or
nothing. That thing was the cleanest, squeakiest,
Veep,
clean thing
Veep
ever.
Veep is clean. I mean, there's a couple F bombs, but there's no nudity. There's it's very very tame.
Yeah, pretty sweary though, isn't it? FDF.
Maybe not so much of the FDF, but. But suggestive,
Wackety whack. Don't talk back. It's FDF. Don't
wiki wiki wiki.
FDF. Don't blame Jeff. That's what I say.
What did you, Scott Johnson? What did you think of the Temple Grandin movie?
I really liked it. No, that was great. I have a few people in extended family who are on her scale of autism, and I feel like that helped inform my enjoyment of it. But I really, that whole thing about if you're going to play somebody with some kind of either mental deficiency or difference or whatever, like, radio with, I can't think of his name. Show me the money.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
And, the whole thing they say in Tropic Thunder, that whole joke about going, I'll just say, I'm quoting a movie here, everybody.
Yes, yes.
Going full retard.
Race for it.
Right. Race for it. I know that it's dangerous for actors and stuff. Or potentially can screw up careers or whatever. I thought she was great in it. I thought Claire Danes was amazing in it. So I liked it a lot. To answer your question, that was good.
You know, that word has gotten so taboo.
The R
so
word?
Fast.
Oh, yeah, big time.
that thanks to Tropic Thunder, you can't even use that phrase with other things now. You feel uncomfortable. You want to make a joke like, you don't go full temple, but I'm having a hard time putting that out there.
Sure, sure. Maybe we could say, I don't know. The problem is we know more about autism now than we ever have before. Mm-hmm. I think that helps mm-hmm. inform how offensive something like that might be, or that you'd even use that word to describe somebody in that condition. But anyway, I just want to watch Rain Man now. So
I have been meaning to watch the Temple Grandin movie.
I liked it a lot.
I've heard that Claire Danes was amazing.
She was really good. I liked everybody in it. I liked the time it's set. I like anything that's set in the 50s and 60s anyway. I'm kind of a sucker for that. So yeah, you're not wasting your time. You should totally watch it.
Okay.
How about this one? Like my something about fresh souls here.
That one with a fresh soul.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, that would be Sam Raimi's brother, right?
It was right. Him. Yes. Way to go, Ted.
Oh, really go over guttural. The top in this one.
Yeah.
Try this out.
Yeah, try. Hey, maybe a little more energy there. Ted, here, listen to it one more time. I like the guttural.
That one with a fresh soul.
Oh, jeez. That is rough, man. That's almost as bad as this guy. All right. Moving back to my almost. Not my mother.
That thing in the cellar is not my mother.
Well, duh, dude.
Yeah. Didn't stop him from putting Bubba's head next to it like 20 minutes later.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. Here's something.
We'll all go in together.
Hell no. You're the curious one.
Bubba. He's the one you're kind of talking, calling Bubba, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's Bobby Joe yelling real loud.
Bobby! Go!
That's him yelling.
That's actually, yeah, that's him.
Yeah, I got that
yelling
backwards.
For him.
Here's a great witch yell. So this is the witch yelling.
Was that it?
That was it. I just like that sound. It's more Ted Raimi. And then the line everybody loves the most, when he gets his new arm, he says this.
Groovy.
There you go.
Yeah. Groovy.
Groovy Bruce.
I just remembered the HBO show I was trying to think of. I was trying to think of the not Deadwood HBO show. There's always one currently. Christopher Guest has a show right now called Family Tree.
Yeah.
It's got Chris O'Dowd in it.
Yeah. Oh, I like Chris O'Dowd.
Irish comedic actor from IT Crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was trying to think of.
That's a sweary piece of business there?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. Oh, interesting. Well, Christopher Guest, he don't go blue.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. That's it. And then Fletcher.
I'll swallow your soul.
That's pretty scary, too. All right. That brings us straight into the checklist. Ted Raimi made to do all of his brother's dirty work. Check.
Check.
Blood hose. Check. And a hand with a mind of its own. Check. Star Trek connections. None. Oh, wait. Did Daryl send one? Maybe he did. Hold on. You'd think after a week I'd have had this worked out. Let's see. Evil. Dead 2. Electric. Boogaloo. Okay, here it is. It's all stunts and mechanical effects and facial stuff and all that. But there are a bunch of people that worked on movies, TV, and all of it. So there's some cool people like Shannon Shea, Michael Burnett, Mark Strostrom, Margaret Prentice, Larry Oldean, and Debbie Lynn Ross, who should be playing country music at the old K Corral there. So there's that. And then we got a soundtrack grade, and I gave it a P for perfect for what it's for. It was fine.
P, it was, yeah.
It was fine.
It's not the most distracting thing in the film.
No, I didn't know there was music.
I mean, come on. Whatever. For what it was, what'd you expect? Let's do the Twitter post. This is with 140 characters or less. You guys sum it up in the only way you know how. Let's start with Randy.
Evil Dead 2. Roger Ebert called it a fairly sophisticated satire that makes you want to get up and shuffle, to which I say,
Oh, Roger, what were you thinking? And I agree on Dark City, though. That was a good movie, that Dark City. We should sack it just to talk about how great it is.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, Brian Dunaway.
Evil Dead 2. No Clamato was harmed in the making of this movie. Okay. All the Clamato.
All of the Clamato. That stuff was very Clamato-like, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It, nice. Man, that one
was a donut dunked in it and it did perfect.
Yeah.
They used all kinds of different types of blood. Some was black, some was thick, some was spewing from some kind of fire hose or something from the basement. Yep. That was my favorite one.
Every one of them had spinach cleaner in it.
Nah. Yeah. Spinach cleaner. Spinach
cleaner.
Let's see. Finally,
is that
Brian.
Cleaner made from spinach or cleaner for spinach?
Yeah.
I'll tell you after this.
It's an ancient secret. Got to keep it. It's like magicians, they don't tell each other their tricks. Brian Ibbett, what's yours?
Evil Dead 2. If nothing else, it's a very long instructional video about starting a chainsaw with your teeth.
Oh, the things you learn. Fantastic. Well, while you guys were all thinking about that, alternate title just handed to me. Here it is. Do my own Foley work again. Gore Notice. Get it? Like Burn Notice, Gore Notice. Or Let Me Give You a Hand With That. And those are your two alternate titles. Okay, I'm going to read a quick email here we got from a listener who I thought I had pulled up and don't, and now I do. Revisiting an old film sack, they say. Longtime listener of Film Sack and TMS. This week I decided that in the absence of a new film sack, I'd revisit an old episode after seeing Thunderheart on TV, to which I say I agree with Randy. Val Kilmer gets a pass for that, and Tombstone. I decided to re-listen to the Top Gun episode. Wanted to share a story that relates to Scott's comment about Tom and Nicole and the stories related to their charity. Hmm. When my husband was 8 years old, this was back in the mid-90s, how old are you then? Mid-90s, geez. You're young. His parents, grandparents rather, went on a trip that included a stop in Aruba, Jamaica. Right. All those. Apparently, Tom and Nicole were either where they are staying, or happen to be at the same hotel.
I see where this letter's going.
This one's a beast. Hold on, I'm gonna skip down here a little bit. It's huge. Scott, I just realized
Scott just picks them without even actually reading.
Well,
them.
In this case, right. I did because I'd forgotten to do it before the show.
But it made more sense then.
And then it just, you know what? It's too long. Never mind. Noise Pollution wrote in, says, "Hey guys, thanks for the show. It has given me countless hours of laughs and leads me to movies that I've never seen before. I'd like to suggest two highly sackable movies for the show. First, Fortress, starring Christopher Lambert."
Yeah. Did we not see that already?
No, we should.
But I've seen it.
Second, Escape from Absalom, starring Ray Liotta with whatever brain was left after, had a bite of it. Both sci-fi, action, adventure gems from memory, but I'd be interested in hearing your take on them. Cheers, says Noise Pollution. Okay. Are they both streaming, these movies?
Suddenly Scott's putting rules down. Yeah. You can't just suggest movies that you want us to watch. It got to be streaming. Do your homework first.
Yeah, do a little homework there, buddy. That's it for emails. If you want to send one, filmsack@gmail.com is the place to send it. Next week, it is not Day of the Dead. We were going to do that next, but we're not now. Instead, we're going to do Popeye, the Robert Altman 1981. Is it 81? I think it's 81.
80.
80 film, Popeye, based on the cartoon, but it's all live action. Robin Williams plays the lead role.
Shelley Duvall.
Yep, she's Olives. The old man that was the teacher when the pizza was delivered to Spicoli, he plays Popeye's dad.
Mr. Hand. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Ray
Hand.
Ray Walston.
Yeah. I went a long way to get to Ray Walston. I could have liked it. Some other people. Wimpy's in there and
Bluto or Brutus, whichever name he's going by.
I wonder which one they used in this one.
I think they used Bluto. Pretty sure.
Really? Bluto's, I think that's the traditional.
Is it Robert? Robert. Is it Mr. Robotnik or is it
Robotnik.
Eggman? Could be Eggman. You never know. So watch for that. That's Popeye next week right here on Film Sack. Speaking of Film Sack, you can find archives of the show and all that kind of stuff over there to thefilmsack.com. Filmsack@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, we're @FilmSack. Leave a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are distributed. We would be happy to read them. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Give me back my hand.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.